Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome into a clean air edition of Sabres Live. On air quality to be reviewed at week's end, but we are with you Monday through Thursday in a very Sabre hoodie type week. Not hoodie, but our guests this week, Marty Baron, have a real homey kind of local Buffalo connection type feel all the way through Monday through Thursday. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it starts with Cammy Clooney today, who will meet us in studio at the bottom of the hour, and it will be fun to talk to her about national anthems, her career, her appearance on The Voice. I want to know, like, hey, what school did you go to? Like, did you play sports? Like, hey, there's a lot of things that we can learn about. Obviously, there is hockey news that have been trickling in. But
did you get smoked this weekend?
I got smoked, yes. I was going to ask you first, how was your weekend and what did you do?
It was capped wonderfully by a concert last night at Babeville. Matt Mason, who is spectacular. Ironically, he's posting today about how rough his voice was last night. And anyone in attendance would go, I would pray and pay to have a voice like that on my worst day.
Yes.
But what was also very beautiful at the end of the night when we were leaving, I ran into Alicia, who is Sophia Laborde's mom. And we lost Sophia, the great cancer fighter, warrior, very
Rasmus
recently.
Rasmus Dahlin's bestie.
Exactly. And Alicia said that while her and Sophia didn't agree on mom's choice in music a lot in life, she loved Matt Mason. So that makes me feel like we truly had an angel with us in Babeville last night.
That's fantastic. And obviously that's the connection that we all have with the Sabrehood and the people that are that make every day special. And Hockey Fights Cancer has been a big, big part of that, getting to know a lot of people over the last few years. And yes, unfortunately, we lost Sophia earlier in the summer. And, you know, it's been pretty emotional with the friends and family that we've encountered and got to know over the years. So this is a great little unexpected meet after that concert for you yesterday. Yeah, I got smoked out. Actually, funny enough, a couple of things happened. Busy weekend, by the way. Sunset at the Stables at Knox Farm on Friday night was fantastic.
Nice.
AJ and the Woods, a Cleveland band, a little folk country band. They were great. It was awesome. And that goes on every Friday night in the month of July. But so a few years back, we bought Jacob, my son, a smoker because he loves to cook. He loves to do big things. So we're like, okay, like now I'm kind of taken over because he's not home. But he bought himself a big brisket. And he's like, I'm going to put it on Saturday night and Sunday. We're going to have it like when I get back from work and all that. Okay, perfect. Well, we had a little mishap where overnight, Saturday to Sunday, at some point in the middle of the night, the smoker ended up catching like a bit of a grease fire because it got too greasy. And, you know, we just had it on low, but those pellets sometimes get the temperature pretty high. And when we woke up Sunday morning, it smelled really good outside.
Yeah.
And when we opened the smoker, as Jacob put it, it was like, it looked like a hockey puck. It was pretty charred and pretty black inside the smoker. And the thing said error, but basically it shut itself down when the flame was too high and all that. So we did not have the brisket on Sunday. But then I started to make burgers and hot dogs on the Blackstone that's next to it. Mm-hmm. Just to anger wasps that had built a nest in a bee in a birdhouse right above the, and they came after me and others.
Oh no!
So I got stung in the ears, in the back of the head. Today, Duffer, I got a bump like what? It's like a goose egg in the back of my head. Yeah, I got attacked a couple of times.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
But I still, we moved it over. Didn't anger them anymore. They went back and did their thing.
Oh,
but yes, it was the attack of the wasp on the cook yesterday.
More eventful weekend for you than World Cup watchers?
It was all happening while the World Cup was going on. How about this Saturday, France?
So your weekend was most similar to Argentina then?
Yes, it was one of those where you showed up but didn't really have the, you know,
right,
the effect that you wanted to
exactly
have. But Saturday, France and England, what a game. 4-0 England, France comes back.
Nothing like a good consolation game to.
That's the thing. Like, I thought, at least if you're going to make it interesting for everybody to play hard, the difference in money that those teams are getting for finishing third or fourth is nothing. I think it's like 20. $3 million for one and 25 for the other. Like, make a difference so they play. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to be there. It was entertaining soccer, but Spain coming through in extra time, 1-0 against Argentina yesterday, was really cool. I wanted to go to penalty kicks because I'm a sucker for shootouts and penalty kicks. But I know it's not the best way to end.
Oh, it is the best way to end. I would have loved to have seen it too. Ryan Fox wins the Open. Great for him. Strong finish. Birdie on 18.
What a putt. Hey, 22 seconds it took him. Did you see that post?
Apparently he was pacing very rapidly through the hole.
So when his partner put it in the hole and picked up his ball, it took 22 seconds for Fox to have his ball lined up, get behind, hit it, amazing, made the putt. Like, he was like, he knew the line.
Amazing.
He wanted to finish. But what a weekend at the British Open, at the Open Championship.
Yes.
It didn't feel like British Open weather. It was nice. It was sunny. Mm-hmm. Wasn't crazy windy. It was not the typical, like, wind sideways and flags going left and right and whatever. So it was pretty enjoyable to watch.
Yes, and we have an enjoyable week coming up here on Sabres Live, including venturing out of our little studio into the great wide open.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to find a better location than Johnson's Landing, and that's where you'll find us on Thursday from noon to one as we overlook beautiful Lake Erie and do so with... Now, do we have to deem this a soft launch given that Razor is the guest?
Yeah, I would say soft launch. Razor is going to be talking with everybody there, so we'll have a hard time getting them
on
the show.
Who's going to engage more, you or Razor, with the audience?
Razor.
Okay.
Razor. When he's in the public wants Rob Ray. They want to talk to him. We'll be busy getting ready for the show. But yes, at Johnson's Landing on Thursday.
Can't wait.
12
Beautiful
and
spot.
1.
It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. And this is the time of year to go. You sit on the patio. Inside, they got big screens. You want to watch some, you know, afternoon sporting event, sporting event. It's all there.
It is. And what we also saw was some business taken care of this weekend across the NHL.
Yes.
Since we last spoke to you, Connor McMichael got himself a handsome deal with St. Louis. His point total dropped last year after a career year the season prior with Washington, but he's locked up for 6 years in St. Louis. And, of course, effectively replaces Jordan Kyrou in part, and that's why, you know, they've secured him for as long as they did. But the biggest deal, of course, Connor Bedard, right on the heels of Shayna pointing us in this direction on Thursday about what would be a sweet spot for him. Injured right now, but still the face of the future moving forward. Not the max deal, but 5 years at, you think, an increased number based on the Leo Carlson deal. It's 5 times 15 for Bedard.
I could have seen 5 times 12.5, 5 times 13, maybe even like go 8 times 13.5 for Connor Bedard, right? Go
keeping
full
in
term.
Mind they could have gone the max based on their openness with the cap.
Yeah, they could have gone 8 years, $20 million if they wanted to. But I feel like because of the Leo Carlson $18 million offer sheet by the Flyers and subsequent like signing by Anaheim, so this basically pointed the arrow at the $15 million mark for Connor Bedard. Mm-hmm. And I get he's injured right now, and people are going to say, well, why do you give him $15 million? He had a shoulder injury during the year. Now he's injured his other shoulder. He's going to miss. Well, that doesn't mean the type of play. That doesn't take away what the type of player he is.
Right.
Very talented. He was a first overall pick. That's the market for Connor Bedard. Now, there is a little wrinkle to the contract over the 5 years. His first year's salary is 17. It goes to 16, 15, 14, and 13. So there's a little bit of drop off. And a $9.8 million signing bonus every year. He wears a number 98, a little Sidney Crosby 8.7 kind of going on there. But instead of being the full salary, it's just an advance, a signing bonus of $9.8 million.
Yeah, and Drysdale signs and avoids arbitration in Philadelphia at a four-year deal, 6.5 per, which spells out exactly what we were all looking at. If Philadelphia had won the Carlson sweepstakes, they would have had to make room on their roster after getting the Zegras and Drysdale deals done. Now, they don't have to worry about that. They've still got a little bit of cap space left
over.
They
can still go and get a top-line center. They have $13 million left on the cap.
Well, true, but of course, every team would want
Doesn't
that.
Doesn't feel like Dylan Larkin would be the easy spot for...
Not on the list, bro.
It's not on the list, bro. You're right. It's Vegas, Florida, Minnesota, and now Dallas. Philadelphia is not on the list.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But wouldn't you think that would be the... Okay, like you saw what the Flyers were willing to part ways. They were willing to part ways with four of their own first-round pick. Maybe you put an even bigger package. Not bigger in the sense that with picks, but you have players and whatever. Detroit may be a good partner for that. But right now, Dylan Larkin doesn't want to go, allegedly, to Philadelphia.
Yeah, half the Flyer core on the blue line is locked up moving forward. So that's comfort for Danny Briere and company.
He's got his goalies.
What?
He's got his goalies with Vladar and Joseph Woll.
Yeah.
So they're building a solid roster right now.
One thing that seems like we've talked about but actually have not is the full 82-game schedule for the Sabres, because it technically came out right after we left the airwaves on Thursday.
Of 1 o'clock.
We've been all staring at it for days now, so... I think you should be familiar with it. Let's rattle through real quick some highlights for you, maybe me as well. I'll throw in some sarcastic moments, but October is when it begins, as we know, with Columbus on the road October 1st and the home opener here on the 3rd against the aforementioned Hawks.
So obviously those two dates are important as the start of the season, the home opener on Saturday against the Hawks, the season opener in Columbus. But for me, I look at the middle week of October. You go Montreal on Tuesday, Toronto on Thursday, Montreal on Saturday. It's a little Eastern Canada trip that you're going to do over 5 days. And then late in October, there's your Sabres After Dark. You know, you got San Jose, Anaheim, and LA.
Well, the LA is not after dark. It's an afternoon game.
I know, but the first two are after dark. And this is actually on Halloween, the LA Kings afternoon game. So you'll be able to, you know, have the TV on while the kids are trick-or-treating that day.
It's the biggest highlight of October for me, because I think all three California teams are super interesting this year based on the off seasons of change. November, any highlights for you?
Yes, Tampa Bay Lightning are in Buffalo on November 11th. That's the return of the big
bad Lightning. Just noticing that's a Wednesday game.
That's a Wednesday night game. Probably won't have it.
Probably not going to be broadcast.
Probably going to be a TNT game, but that's okay. And then... The Thanksgiving little sandwich. That's the highlight. So the Rangers are in Buffalo the day before Thanksgiving. The Pittsburgh Penguins are in Buffalo the day after Thanksgiving. And the Bills are playing on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
So that's a sporting like event. If you want to do boom, 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 3 days in a row, that will be a very busy time of the year.
I prefer Thanksgiving Eve against Western Conference opponents, but I have no say in the matter. December, of course, has the Christmas break. It's a little... Is there a shift this year that I didn't know about? Because... More often in recent years, it was the 26th that was off as part of the three-day break. This year, for Buffalo, it's 23, 24, 25. Do other teams have 24, 25, 26?
No, everybody has 23, 24, 25.
Really?
Here's how it is. There's a little wrinkle in the agreement. Is if the 26th ends up on a Friday or Saturday, you can take the 23rd off. So they basically want to save the best
best
dates.
I'm ticked by this because I really think it should be split, that half the league does 23 through 25 and then the other half, you know, 24 through 26, because
I want
this league to embrace a hockey day on Christmas Day. They like other sports have done. I would prefer this league going all in, believing in its product, and finding a place on Christmas Day.
It's the players that don't want that, right now. The players want their break, their three-day break at Christmas. It used to be only 24th and 25th, so you had to fly out the day of, or you were playing the 23rd late, so at least now you've got 3 days. Yes, you mentioned the Western Canada trip, and then obviously Boxing Day is in Buffalo as well.
January is busy, of course, and...
New Year's Eve in Florida, for those that want to do
busy.
It.
Not busy. The Sabres are off New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in
Florida.
Yeah,
but you can do like Florida on the 30th and on the 2nd. You can have a little trip to Florida if you wanted to celebrate New Year's there.
I know. It's crazy, right?
It's great.
I don't recall a time in my time with the Sabres that we've had both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off.
Don't remember. There was always a game.
Non-COVID,
and it was always Dallas on New Year's Eve the last few years.
In the last couple, Oh, the tradition is over.
It's over. They're not in Dallas on New Year's Eve.
Okay, so February is exciting for me because between the 4th and the 12th, there are no games.
That's the bye week All-Star game.
What needs to happen?
Music festival,
no,
time for nothing.
No, there's no festivals at that time of year. What needs to happen is reduced flight prices for the West Coast. So,
oh, yeah, so you can go out.
So I'll be on Zoom that week, hopefully.
February 26th and 27th. The Sabres have a home-and-home on Friday. Back-to-back home games. A Friday night against Ottawa, Saturday against Toronto. So you're getting those two in a matter of 24 hours. So those will be pretty intense. Division rivals, you know, rivals in life as well with Ottawa and Toronto.
So, life rivals. That's life the new rivals. Banner.
Rivals in life. That's what we're going to post it on Sabres Live.
Well, what February also brings is a final Sunday of the month with a game that leads into four straight Sundays
in March.
So we have five straight Sunday games.
The only on the road, though, every one of them.
Most of them except for,
they're all on the road. Everyone, Ottawa, Minnesota, Islanders, and St. Louis, all on the roads on Sunday.
Because it speaks to the tradition that I grew up with of the Sabres having games on Sundays, but they were mostly home games, obviously. But regardless, I like Sunday games.
They were 6 o'clock, right? On Sunday,
six
usually?
And I really like the Sunday games, so count me in the minority probably on that one.
A lot of afternoon games, and that's why Sundays are mostly afternoon.
But not a lot
afternoon.
Of matinees throughout the year. Certainly not on Saturdays this year, unfortunately, from home. Like I say, unfortunately, I'm only looking at this from a selfish standpoint. I love Saturday matinees. Yes. The season does have two Saturday games in April for Buffalo before the regular season comes to an end. And that final game against the Red Wings is a 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, yes.
On home ice on a Saturday night, which is very rare.
Four of the last five games in April, obviously, are home games. All five are against divisional opponents. Yeah. So you finish with Boston twice, Tampa, Detroit, and Toronto. The only road game for the Sabres in the month of April is in Toronto. They're going to be four at home and one in Toronto. It's very, very manageable to finish the season.
Real quick, amidst this schedule and the players who will be performing in those games, I think a lot of attention will be paid on the trio of young players still trying to carve out their place with this team, especially amidst some off-season of change. Noah Ostlin, Konsta Helenius, Yuri Kulik. What do you have them projected for this year? Games is tricky. I mean, you're just hoping for all 82, obviously. But goals and points, you know, for this trio individually and where they may find themselves in the lineup by season's end.
They're all going to be in the top nine. They're all going to be in the top nine. I really feel that by season's end, this is maybe even like a few sprinkled in the top six. Like, I think for me, and I'm always a positive guy, but I'm looking at these three having really good seasons. Like, step into the, hey, now I am not just a prospect or a rookie, and you can expect some highs and lows and whatnot. No, you're going to perform for the whole year. So I'm looking at Noah Ostlin. Last year, 60 games, 27 points, 11 goals. I'm doubling that. I'm saying over the season, that's 20 goals, and that's probably close to 60 points. And so that's my number one guy. Yuri Kulik, I don't know. I would like to say he's a 25-25 guy. So maybe 50 points this year. I'd like to see the goals be at 25, but it's hard for me to gauge where he's going to be. He's missed most of the season, and you know there's going to be maybe an adjustment period. Konsta Helenius, I'm going to put him at 15-30 for 45. So I've got 45 for Helenius, 50 for Kulik, and 60 for Austin.
60? I thought you said 50.
20 and 40, so 60 for
Holy
Austin.
Holy cow.
Yes.
I think the president of his fan club doesn't even have him that
well,
high.
Well, he had 27 points last year, 11 goals.
In
60 games. So I'm saying, like, if you double that, 27, that's 54.
See, that's what, you said 54. That's why the 60 is coming out of nowhere.
But I'm saying in 60 games. So 54 and 60 games, that could be 60 points and 82.
Whew. I have all three of them at 45, and I hope they all get there.
Okay, so
from a goal scoring standpoint, Yuri would be the primary. Konsta would be number two.
Okay.
Ostlund, I would think, would be somewhere between 10 and 15 goals. But for me, it's always about more the two-way player that Ostlund is. So I'm less worried about the actual goals. Obviously, would love to see more of them. The wrinkle in all of this is which one is most likely to get more power play time.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's got to be Yuri, right?
Yeah, Yuri's got to be.
But not necessarily, because we saw Noah earn a lot of second
because
unit power
of his
play
like his creativity,
right?
And his
and
hockey
his positioning
sense
on the ice was different than what you see in a lot of typical power plays.
He
so
goes to the front of the net and he stays there
and
for,
he was also on his strong side you know up high so
So for me, I can
see.
It's
funny, our default both went to Jiří for this, though.
Yes, and I can see Jiří on the right flank, Tage on the left flank, Dahlin in the middle, and I'm saying just keep like feeding it to the side because Yuri's got the great one-timer shot,
yeah.
And then he can stop it and get to the middle. Tage from the other side, I think you have to have that mentality. I'm saying, like, listen, I would only work on one thing. Yep. I would go on the ice with a bucket of pucks in the middle with Dahlin, and I would say, okay, play catch with Jiří, play catch with Tage, and then when I blow the whistle, the next pass is a one-timer on that. And everybody else, that's how you react to it. You have a bumper and a net front, but it's probably more like a double net front presence.
Other amazing news that happened since we last spoke. The National Lacrosse League announced its Hall of Fame inductees,
yes,
for 2026, and three former Bandits, but most importantly, one current Bandit who's been there forever. As a builder, I am so excited to share that John Gertler is going in to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. If you know John, you know his heart and his passion, and sometimes it's just the little things that you hear and pick up in conversation. He loves the game so much and has only ever wanted to see it continue to progress. And when you have someone that cares as much about the game as John does, it comes across, and he's being so justly rewarded for his career in this game. And then Mark Stainhouse, who spent 15 years, incredible, still holds the league record for most points in a game, won a title with them in 2008. But
great celebration after goals.
Yeah. Whose house? Stainhouse. And obviously, when you have that kind of connection with the fan base that he did, it's wonderful to see. Sean Evans, more briefly a Bandit, but so close to helping them win in 2019. They ultimately lost to Calgary in overtime in the final. And Micah Kersey, who I think for me, like, I'm so passionate about these guys because I've seen them my entire life in the junior and senior leagues in Canada and professionally. And I feel like a Kersey who's been behind the bench in Halifax for 5 years, I've gained more respect for him post-playing career with his demeanor and his knowledge and how he handles the game behind the bench. I love seeing
kinda
it.
Kind of like John
Tavares.
He did after, like, the commitment to the game and growing the game is what makes, like, a true Hall of Famer. You can have all the talent in the world, but how do you impact the game after you're done playing? And those guys have done that.
And of course, that's just part of this year's haul. Go to NLL.com and learn more about all of the future inductees later this year. And we don't want you to miss your chance to be at the home opener here at KeyBank Center in October. We mentioned earlier, it's the Hawks here on October 3rd. Your chance to win two tickets for the opener. Just go to Sabres.com/enter. Cammy Clooney coming up on Sabres Live.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Told you off the top of the show that there's a strong local feel this week here on Sabres Live, and we're pushing you towards the pet adoption event on July the 25th right here at KeyBank Center. It's in partnership with the Bills. You can meet adoptable cats and dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations, plus bring unopened cat or dog food to donate, and you'll receive 30% off at the Sabres store. For more information, visit sabres.com/adopt. This is the lead-in to our guest today.
Oh, Canada, our home and native.
Just keep going. That was exactly what unfolded with Cammy Clooney behind the mic in one of the more viral moments of this season. And Cammy, of course, has starred as a local standout musician and anthem singer for a long time. We're thrilled to have you in studio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.
You know what? I just had a good idea. Like, we had Don Stevens on last week. He's the longtime play-by-play in Rochester Americans that retired. And he has a bobblehead. We need to have a Cammy Clooney bobblehead, and that needs to be on the shelf back here. And maybe you have, like, a broken microphone with the bobblehead just to, like, kind of solidify that moment. And it was really cool because the way the fans joined in. Mm-hmm. But that was game two against Boston. Mm-hmm. Did you notice in game one, everybody also singing along, but your microphone was working that night perfectly?
Everybody always sings along. Yeah, that was just more noticeable because obviously you couldn't hear me. So,
or in parts. We could hear you in parts until you got a new microphone.
Yeah, yes, well, take us through that, like that moment of it disappearing and you knowing that and then hoping that things will get righted as quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, most people don't know that the last game of the regular season, the mic wasn't working when I first started to sing, and they immediately gave me the mic. So that's why, like, in that video, I look back to see if they're going to hand me a new mic. And then I'm looking back, and they're just not. I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to keep going. And, you know, I wasn't sure what was coming through the broadcast versus what was coming through the arena. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep singing. And, you know, it just kind of turned into a cool thing. And people always say, like, weren't you freaking out? And I'm like, not really, because if, like, I had forgotten the lyrics or something, like, that was my fault, you know, I would have been freaking out. But, like, it was something that I couldn't control. So I just, you know, I was like, well, that's it, it is what it is.
And it made a great viral moment through social media.
Yeah.
The playoffs, I mean, the first time in 15 years the Sabres are in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden everybody's paying attention. So that's great.
Yeah.
Now, your very first anthem with the Sabres, I believe, was back in 2015.
Yeah.
Did you know both the U.S. and Canadian national anthem back then, or did you have to learn the Canadian one to make sure that, hey, you know, we sing both anthems here in Buffalo?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a good question, because I don't remember, because I knew the American since I was like 12, because I auditioned for the Bills, and they don't do the Canadian. So I must have learned it for the Sabres, probably.
And when do you remember performing anthems for the first time?
I think I was around 12.
Yeah.
I was doing, like, you know, colleges around here. So, yeah.
And it's come a long way. Your first album is now out.
Yeah, very excited about that. Yeah, it's been in the works for a while, like 3 years now. I wrote all the songs back in like 2023 and released some of them as singles, and now it's finally a full project. So
tell us about it.
Yeah, what's the process like?
Sure.
Hours in studio, writing? Do you always have a notebook? Like Duffer and I have notebooks, but it's all hockey notes. Yeah. Like, do you always have a notebook and kind of build songs as they come?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a songwriter, I'm always recording things and writing things in my notes, usually on my phone, voice memos. But yeah, that time in my life in 2023, I was kind of going through a couple different things. I had a long-term relationship end, and soon after that kind of gotten into like I call it a situationship with somebody, and things kind of didn't go the way that I wanted it to, and I was just processing like a lot of my emotions at the time, and a lot of songs came out of that. Because I don't know, I think a lot of times with things like heartbreak and love, there's so many songs about relationships, right? So, you know, that was the time, what I was going through at the time. And I ended up writing all these different songs, and then I finished them in the studio with, I don't know if you guys know Grabitz, but he's a musician from around here, but he's bigger. He has like lots of followers and has performed all over, and he's an incredible writer and producer, and I was supposed to have him produce it, but he's very busy, and so we didn't get to finish it together. And so I ended up working with a producer in Nashville, and he produced the songs for me. And I really wasn't sure if it was going to still be a full project, and then this year came along, and I was like, okay, these songs were meant to be listened to as a project. Yep. So I want to make it a project, even though I released a lot of them already. And so, now it's a full thing that people can listen to, and it's called Should Be Sleeping.
Yes, so give us the title and why and the meaning, and then how you lay out the songs.
Sure. Yeah, so kind of, you know, similar to what I was saying before, where it was just this summer of me processing so many emotions. It was like a lot of me writing late at night. Mm-hmm. When I should have been sleeping. And so, like, it's pretty straightforward when you think about it that way, but it was always the title that I had in mind. And we had thought of other things, and I was like, no, it's called Should Be Sleeping. So as far as the track list, it is in the order of how I was processing things. So it was like the first three was kind of that first relationship, and this last four were like that second thing that I was going through. And so, it just kind of goes through this whole process, and that's why I like that it's a full thing in order now, right?
Duffer loves the title because often he's watching the San Jose Sharks or the LA Kings late at night, and then he's like, I should be sleeping.
Should be sleeping.
But instead, he's doing the scouting, so that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people know you as an artist, you know, obviously singing the anthems and everything. but they don't know you mm-hmm. as a person. So I'm like, yeah. I've got all these things. I'm like, okay, where'd you go to school? Like, what? So yeah. anyway, let's start from the beginning. Like, sure. where'd you grow up, going to school, and mm-hmm. all of that?
Yeah, so I grew up in Kenmore, and okay. then we moved to Amherst in, like, 2012. I went to St. Amelia's my whole life, always private school. And then I switched, or not switched, I went to high school at Mount St. Mary's, and then I switched to Christian Central Academy my oh, sophomore yeah. year. So very small school.
Yeah, my son went there as a kindergartner.
Oh, no way.
And then we
really?
Went to New York, and yeah. then he never returned. But yeah, I know yeah. exactly. They're uh-huh. in Williamsville, so a really, yep. really small school, but yes. Very, very good.
Yeah, I always say it's right near Will South. Everyone mm-hmm. knows where Will South is. So yep. Yeah, that's where I went to school my whole life.
Okay, and then did you play sports? Like, mm-hmm. you have that connection with the Bills yeah. and the Sabres, but were you a sport nut, or did you just stay away from that? How'd that go?
I wish. I have no athletic ability whatsoever. my parents tried because my sisters did sports.
Okay.
And so there's actually a picture of me, like, holding a baseball bat sobbing because I did not want to be there. I love watching sports. I love the Bills. I love the Sabres, but no athletic ability. My aunt actually put me in dance when I was, like, 4.
Okay.
And I loved dance. And then I was put in theater when I was, like, 12. Mm-hmm. Fell in love with theater and music, and that's really where I learned that I could sing, like, around, like, 10, 11, and then I just started just kind of exploring all different types of music. My dad is a lot into music. He, like, plays a bunch of different instruments, but I'm really kind of the only person in my family that sings.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was definitely, like, it wasn't expected, so they were like, what do we do with her? Like, you
I
know?
Really want to see the picture of you sobbing with the
yeah,
baseball bat.
I gotta find
because
that.
Because as you described it, it made yeah. me think of my girl.
Oh,
in
really?
Their very, very, very brief time playing soccer.
they
hated it so much. And yeah. it's amazing how often that happens for
yeah.
kids, right? Oh, this is a good idea.
Right.
This is not a good idea. yeah. We're moving on from this, right? And
exactly.
Yeah, I love that. And then, so does your dad play in any bands, like, locally?
No, not anymore. He should.
Yeah.
He doesn't anymore, but he used to. He was, like, a guitar player. So, yeah.
So the music genius here, or the knowledge of music is all Duffer.
I'm a fan.
So he's
it.
A fan. but where are some of your inspiration, the bands that you like?
Yeah.
Maybe some not as well known. He would probably know all of them because he loves the, you know, the
yeah.
music scene. But some, like, your one song talks about the 1975s. And I'm
yeah.
like, I don't know that band. So
yeah.
I had to kind of research it. But anyway, some of your favorite
yeah.
bands and artists.
Well, like I said, I grew up doing theater, so I was always, like, very inspired by musical theater, all those kind of legends. And then once I started getting into some music outside of that, I discovered a lot of, like, older music, like, you know, Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton, old rock bands like Heart, I love Fleetwood Mac, Stevie yeah. Nicks. I saw her at Key Bank.
Last
and,
show here, yeah.
Just, like, in awe.
Oh,
I love her so
cool.
much. But, yeah, and then, I mean, I'm constantly inspired by people. So, like, even newer artists like Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, Chappell Roan. I feel like I could name so many different people.
Have you seen any of them yet?
Yes. I saw Chappell open for Olivia in Nashville before, like, right before she blew up.
Wow.
So, like, people didn't really know who she was, and then all of a sudden she took off. And actually, I had tickets to, she was at Terminal B,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I got the tickets right before she blew up, and then everyone wanted them, and it was all sold out, and I was
yeah.
like, well, you guys didn't know her before.
Yeah. No, that was the incredible launch to Terminal B,
yeah.
and
yes.
It, and yeah, that show originally
yeah.
was supposed to be at the ballroom,
it
I guess,
was.
And then exceeded
yep.
capacity by, like, sixfold, and
yep.
yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. How was
yeah.
Olivia?
Oh, she was fantastic.
She's still on. She's probably in my top three of yeah. ones that I still would love to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, she's incredible. I'm seeing her in Toronto
uh-huh.
in October again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I didn't
yeah.
love that her latest tour kind of ramps up right when our season is. So I didn't want to take a big gamble, you know, and go all
not
in
know the schedule.
And then not know the
yeah,
schedule.
Not
but
know
yeah.
the schedule.
Yeah. So The Voice, obviously, this is a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
Let's give a little sample for those who don't know some of this of Cami Clooney's story.
And I taught you to be patient, and I taught you to be fine. Now all your love is wasted, then who the hell was I? I'm breaking at the bridges. Bye.
my gosh. Yes!
How long ago does that feel like for you, and what does it mean to you when you see it again?
It feels like forever ago, honestly. I feel like such a different person than I was in 2020. I was like, I just turned 20, and I was like navigating like who I wanted to present myself as on like this national stage and like finding my style, both, you know, with my music and like how I dressed and everything. And so it's just funny to look back at and see, you know, like so much has changed since then, I guess.
Could you see when Blake Shelton turned his chair that he was blocked
No.
while you're singing? So you have
Yeah.
no idea. Like he's putting his head down.
Yeah.
Everybody's standing up cheering for you, and you're Yeah. probably like, why is he so upset? And so you couldn't tell?
Yeah. So something that a lot of people don't know about The Voice is that like sound of the buzzer doesn't actually go through. Like they add that in post.
Okay.
So I think it's to not startle us, mm-hmm. you know? And so I had my eyes closed for like the first, I don't know, a couple lines, and I opened them and they were already looking at me, and I was like, what is going on?
And Kelly Clarkson is mouthing the words
Yeah.
as you're singing.
I like, everybody who was on the show says like they black out, and like that was Yeah. totally me. I was just like so panicked, you know, like it was the scariest moment. So
wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I get so, it's so emotional just Yeah. watching and what it must have been like for you. Congratulations. Honestly, like when you think of how few people in the world ever have a moment like that.
Yeah.
Truly incredible.
It's on YouTube. It's
Yeah.
everywhere. You want to see four chair turns, Yeah. like of all the voices, not just here in the U.S., but around the world, you
Yeah.
can find it. So that's pretty cool. So,
all right. Well, your expertise is needed here, Cammy Clooney, because we're hosting a draft right now, an anthem singer draft.
Okay.
It's four rounds. You can pick anyone.
Yeah.
Alive or no longer with us.
Oh, wow.
And that would be to sing the anthem. And because you are the guest, you get first
okay.
choice.
First pick.
Well, I mean, I feel like, is it like typical of Whitney Houston, obviously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's just because for you,
Yeah.
you...
Well, her anthem, I think, is
right.
probably the best of all time.
The Bills at the Super Bowl, that mm-hmm. was just
Yeah.
crazy, the emotion.
It was so good.
I mean,
Yeah.
it was so good. It would have been my first pick as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now,
you guys are very serious
yeah,
about
so
this.
I'm going to actually mark Whitney Houston
oh, she's
out because
there.
She's on my list. Okay, so I'm going to go Lauren Hart. By the way, I'm going to pick just, you're not allowed,
Yeah.
we're not allowed to pick you, by the way, so
okay.
like, I would probably go with you right now, but Lauren Hart, because I was in Philadelphia, she was a longtime anthem singer in Philly, just had that vibe when I played against the Flyers and with the Flyers, so I'm going with,
cool.
when they call the best anthemist in the NHL, I said there's competition,
mm-hmm.
and you're up there obviously competing, but I'm going to go Lauren Hart right now.
Great pick. Cancer warrior, incredible human,
yes.
and yeah, incredible
Her
singer.
Her dad was Gene Hart, was the great Gene Hart mm-hmm. that you know did the games.
I will go with Matt Mason based on recency bias, because I just watched him last night at Babeville,
okay.
and honestly, when you, and it was a stripped performance, just him, no band, and I think it just really, really reinforces when you have singers that are that capable, what it would be like to be in a moment like this. And how about this one for my second
good.
Pick, Adele.
Mm, good
I
choice.
Mean,
so you're going in the fantasy world, what would be great? Like I'm in the real world.
I believe
world.
That I was know. The question.
Okay, yes.
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 Okay, I like that.
Okay,
I think
good.
Adele, okay,
yeah.
that would be, she can sing.
I yes,
mean,
she can.
Yes, that's, you know, no denying that.
You're
so
up.
That would be great. I'm up. Okay, so again, from a place I played, and unfortunately, you know, he was such a legend. But John Amarante of the New York Rangers, when
mm-hmm.
he sang the anthem. And now they have John Brancy, who's an opera-type singer.
Okay.
So there's something to be, I mean, Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
like, sing the anthem there. So
Definitely.
That would be my second pick. You're up.
I'd say probably Chris Stapleton. Have you seen
oh,
this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
He was on my list before I started to just focus on the NHL.
Yeah.
And that is definitely
now. Do you want there. Chris just for his voice, or do you want
guitar.
His guitar?
Guitar?
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you.
He was
okay,
amazing.
Because when we were thinking about this today, I was
yeah.
actually thinking Slash.
Yeah. Oh.
From, because he's
oh,
done it
yeah.
before,
that's a
and
good
I just kind of want that you
yeah.
know moment. Anyway.
Yep.
Your next one.
Okay. My next. Oh no, she's got two.
Oh, two.
Oh, I have two.
Oh, yes,
you gotta
first.
Do two. You're the snake draft.
Let me think. Maybe somebody from Broadway. Maybe. Barbara Streisand?
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that
yeah.
would be...
smokes.
Again, if
yeah.
you did about, like, you know, MSG or something like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was your second pick again?
We can do Brancy. Yeah, we can do John Brancy. Okay. That's the Rangers guy right now.
Yeah.
My third pick, and there's a little Sabres connection to him, but mostly a Yankee connection, Ronan Tynan, the great Irish tenor. And Lindy Ruff brought him into the locker room. This is a great story. So he was born with a disability with his legs and had to have him amputated when he was a teenager. He did Paralympics, but he's an Irish tenor. He's about 6'5", tall guy, and he used to sing the God Bless America, the Yankees. They brought him in here to sing the national anthem. Was incredible. Wow. I was in net, and I think I had like, you know, I was sweating just listening to his anthem. So Ronan Tynan would be my third pick.
Well, another local connection is on the other side of our studio, Addison Logan.
Oh, so I would
pick Addie to get this opportunity because she's just beautiful and awesome and so talented. And we're so proud to get to work with her every day and know her, but love and respect her as a musician.
You guys
and
have been on the same bill together, so that's great.
Yes, hopefully collaborations ahead. Now, last one is probably the wrong thing to do here in this moment, but I'm going Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and Angels and Airwaves, just because that's something I would do. Very punkish, not the greatest voice, but when you love him, you love him. So I would love and be wearing his Padres ball cap probably when he's doing it. So
you love San Diego. Yes, I do. That fits for you. Okay, my last pick, not because of the voice, but because of the surprising element that came about in RJ's last game against the Chicago Blackhawks was Malcolm Subban singing the anthem. I want Malcolm Subban again. So I'm going Malcolm Subban. I forgot about this. And when I was putting my list, I'm like, when he came out of the Zamboni entrance, like as you do, and all the players from Chicago and Buffalo turned around because they all knew him, was incredible. So Malcolm Subban is my last pick. You got one.
Now, your third one was Barbara Streisand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, now you're, this is your final one?
Final.
Is that right? Yes, final pick.
Okay, probably, I mean, I think she's has such an incredible voice, like voice of her generation, Ariana Grande. I love Ariana, so I'm going to pick her. Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe I didn't pick Celine Dion along
the
way.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
Like, it was only four.
It was only four, and I was sticking to, like, the hockey theme and all of that, but, you know, I think.
But it is funny, because you've referenced her numerous times within hockey themes and her involvement over the years.
Or when she sang at the Olympics in Paris, in the Eiffel Tower and all of that. So there's our final draft, which is, I mean,
incredible star power on Cammy's side of the ledger. So this is unsurprising.
I feel
that
that costs a lot of money to bring all these people.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think, Cammy, as you would attest, though, the beauty of music is that no two lists will ever be the same, right?
Totally.
And I'm sure you appreciate that from your fans all the time, why they love you, why they follow. And what's next, real quick, before we go? What's next for you?
What's next? Well, I'm working on more music.
Yep.
So more music to come. And then obviously just lots of events that I'm doing for
the rest
of the
year.
And where can they find you? Honestly, like all my whole list is on my social media or my website, so you can check it out there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
Cammy Clooney in studio today, part of a big week for us on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Big week to be in the Saberhood. So good to have Cammy Clooney in studio with us just moments ago. We are live at Johnson's Landing on Thursday. Rob Ray is going to be there to join us and, of course, engage with the audience. We'll have giveaways and more. Again, it all happens on Thursday at Johnson's Landing. This, of course, is going to be the start of some really special outings for us, and we can't wait to see you on Thursday.
In the Saberhood.
In the Saberhood. Very quick, Dazzled and Disturbed in the form of Dazzling.
Yeah, very dazzling.
Dazzling year for Matthias Samuelson.
Dazzling year, Matthias Samuelson. Got married over the weekend. Congratulations to the new married couple. It was fun to see on social media some of the players and their pictures and all of that. So it was great.
And what a week we had last week as we left the airwaves in the middle of Give 716.
My gosh.
Nearly $2 million raised, 1.8 plus. and that was a phenomenal effort by our community.
What a kickoff party on Wednesday. Thursday was a fantastic day. The golden ticket hour late in the Thursday night. I mean, getting close to $2 million. Fantastic for a ton of non-for-profit.
Congrats, Josh Kerr from Scotland, who set the new record in the mile, 3 minutes, 42 seconds. Incredible. Breaking the record that stood for 27 years. And happy birthday, Brett Murray, Pavel Datsyuk, Peter Forsberg. If you had to pick one, Datsyuk or Forsberg, who would you pick at full health?
Forsberg.
Oh, I would too. And I think that would, well, out of Motor City, it would be the wrong choice.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.